Scott with SJ, wildfire.com. Hey, I'm pleased to announce Pastor Larry. We've talked a little bit about Pastor Larry and his Bible study. He's been studying Ephesians 6 for the last 3 to 4 years.
This is Brother Larry coming to you. I apologize for the short podcast the week before, and this is a continuance of that, but I accidentally hit my stop recording and didn't know where I left off at, so I may be repetitive here, but I'm just going to continue with last week, and if I repeat myself, I'm sorry, but I'm going to begin by saying that we must pursue Jesus Christ, and it's like running in a race. We must follow hard after him, to pursue him, not to catch him for our own salvation, but pursuing in the way we live our Christian life. Walk in his steps. Sometimes he runs, sometimes he walks. To get into his footsteps, to be diligent, and to be aggressive for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said that by pursuing Jesus Christ, there's some things that we have to do to lighten our load. And I believe I was reading in Ephesians chapter 4 of things we have to do to lighten the load. So I'm going to start reading and making some comments. Like I said, I don't know where I left off. In Ephesians chapter 4. And so let me start by Paul saying, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in their futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." You know, when you talked, I think I mentioned this before I stopped the recording, that the hardening of the heart is caused by not listening to God's revealing of himself, such as in the preaching of the word, of in nature itself, of in Christians, seeing Christians live the holy life. They harden their hearts, and when they harden, it needs to become calloused. And it mentions that by here in Ephesians 4:19 about having lost all sensitivity. Because, you know, when a callus forms, it's because of the continuous rubbing. So this continuous preaching of the word and their rejection of it causes this callousness, and it results over into sins of the flesh. And Paul says that, however, is not the way you've learned. When you heard about Christ, that we were taught in him in accordance with the truth, and I mentioned that the truth, and you've heard that we mentioned and talk about that word before, that Jesus is the truth. You were taught regard to your former way of life, and here's what I mentioned about unburdening yourself so you can run the race, is to put off the old self. The old self will drag you down where you cannot pursue the Lord Jesus, where you cannot run the race. Because the old self is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. They work against the soul. We're going to see this as we get into Romans. And Paul says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And we talked about this, the mind. And it's so important. We're going to talk about it again. I'm going to cover, review some of the stuff that I've taught before. So, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, you have to have the right attitude. The right attitude of thinking. Thinking, like I mentioned last week, thinking in the spiritual realm. We must put our minds in that place. So put off the old self. Now, that's a process. not something you probably would do overnight. There may be some things you would put off overnight, but that putting that all that old self is a process. It's called progressive sanctification in theological terms in our life, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires to be made new in the attitude of your minds. I want to be new thinking. I don't want to think about these things that weigh me down. No, it's just a burden. And put on the new self, because it's light. That burden that Jesus offered, that yoke, is light and it's easy. Why do you want to be weighed down? Why do I want to be weighed down with the old self, which is heavy? You want to be like God, as Paul says here, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off. See, there's that getting, shedding this weight that keeps us from running the race. And in our vernacular, to keep us from the battle. We have to put off these things that are not, that are civilian things, and think of in military terms. I remember that when I was my first couple days at San Diego boot camp for the Marine Corps, that we had to all get in one room, and we had boxes, and we had to, just to the drill instructor's specifications, we had to take our old civilian clothes, take them off, pack them up, and send them home, because they had no place in the Marine Corps life at that time. So it's the same thing Paul's talking about here. Don't wear your civilian clothes anymore. Put on the new man of righteousness and holiness, which you didn't have before, and shed those things, and put off those things that so easily weigh us down. And what are those things that weigh us down? Well, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. There's a lot of nuances in that statement about speaking truthfully. We can speak with our lies and with our actions and with our mouth. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more when we get into the belt of truth. And why should you speak truthfully to your neighbor? Well, Jesus Christ is the truth. You must be honest. You must have integrity. This is so important. And he goes in verse 26, he says, "And in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." There's a spiritual warfare, my friends. Do not give, you know, when you're angry for no cause, or you fly off the handle, or you lose your temper. Boy, does the devil get his foothold in that. And when he gets his foothold in it, he can build a stronghold. The book of Corinthians teaches that. So that's what Paul's talking about when he means he's putting off these things. "Anyone who is stealing must not steal any longer," Paul says. Those are the things that weigh us down. I just borrowed it. I'll give it back. No, if you took it without any permission, that's stealing. Let's be truthful. See how they work together? Let's call it what it is. Those things weigh us down when we do these things. "Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let unwholesome talk," and here we're going to be this is going to prick somebody's conscience. It did mine. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Here are some other lists that Paul gives about that so easily weigh us down and gives the enemy a foothold. Get rid of all bitterness. Are you bitter against somebody today? Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Malice is harboring something. It's harboring that bitterness in your heart. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ. So, how do we do those? How do we put off those things? Well, I'm going to tell you, I think one of the easiest ways to put off a lot of that is not to center on them mentally. Let's put them off. Let's confess them, and let's get them. God forgives. Let's confess them and move on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's fill our minds with Scripture. Let's fill our minds with Jesus Christ Himself. Let's pursue Him. So, some practical ways. Let's read books about Christianity, about the spiritual life. I could give you lots of examples and what books to read. Listen to sermons. Go to church. I'm not your church. I'm going to say that right now. If you're taking this as going to church, that's not correct. And I thought I knew I did a podcast on the fact of you being ordered to battle Satan, you must be in a local church where there's gifted pastors and evangelists who can inspire us and teach us and to equip us for the spiritual warfare. That's important. That's why God gave the local church in order to do that. I am not your replacement for the church, okay? I'm just one of those people that you're listening to. One of those sermons. Flood your mind, but listen. But still go to church, please. Read books and listen to sermons that flood your mind with heaven. You ever just stopped and meditated on heaven and what it's like? You know, I go to bed at night a lot of times and I ask God, I say, God, I can have some weird dreams. And I say, God, give me some dreams of heaven. Give me some dreams of you. Give me a glimpse of heaven, what it's like to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever do that? What it would be like to stand in the presence of your Savior? That's what we should be doing, to see Him face to face. That will revolutionize. The more we see God, the more we see ourselves, and the more we see ourselves, the more we want to put off some of these things. Because we want to stand in the holiness of God, like Isaiah did, in the holiness of Christ. Meditate on His return. He's coming back, He promised. And what it'll be like in the kingdom of God, in the millennial kingdom. Yes, I believe in the millennial kingdom. That when He returns, He'll usher in that kingdom. What it'd be like to live with no sin. You know, with no sin that's running rampant. Meditate on these things. I'm trying to give you things to help you in your spiritual mind, your spiritual way of thinking. Of course, like I said, primary Scripture, because they reveal these things. We can meditate on these things. We can let our mind run wild on Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. Reflect upon what salvation cost the Lord Jesus Christ each time you come to the communion table. And besides, if you don't go to church, you're not going to go to communion, so you have to go to church to partake of communion. Think about what it cost Him in His body and His flesh to secure your salvation, and how much it costs for you to be forgiven. You're transforming your mind. Realize that God now reigns in heaven, and He has control over all things. It helps me to know that the Scriptures, the promises of God in Scripture, teaches that God is in control no matter what we think, no matter what we see on TV. God is still in control. Understand that. Meditate upon that. He's even in control over you and mankind. God will bring all things together one of these days, and you will see it. And thank God for it. Meditate on it. You know, it's difficult to do this. Sometimes in your my situations, when we're hurting, when we're suffering, even there might be some people listening, they're in persecution. I've never known a physical persecution, but there may be some listeners that are being persecuted. And I pray for you. And I say this, maybe you only have a copy of the scriptures, but you would meditate that God loves you and he is in control and he will bring all things in fulfillment in his time. Start on your journey now if you haven't started already, while it's still light and before it gets dark. Get to know the God of your salvation. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where rust or moth does not corrupt. Get to know the God of your salvation, the hope of which he has called you, as Peter says. He will not let the enemy have dominion over you. Satan cannot touch you. God is in control. But you must apply this provision into your life, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do, is give you some of these provisions. And that's the whole point of when I come to Ephesians chapter 1. It's to fight this spiritual battle with Satan and the battle that's within you. We fight ourselves a lot of times. But God has provided a way out. God is a preserver of your soul and my soul. He loves you and wants the best for your life. So sit at his feet and put on your helmet. That Satan cannot penetrate. Pray to him with expectancy and thankfulness. Then try time in his presence. And most of all, love him. And I will be praying for you, my brothers and sisters. I go through like things as you do. I am not exempt. I fail at times, as you do. You know, but I have questions like you do. And sometimes I don't think the Lord hears my prayers, but he does. He always answers prayers. In the positive and the negative, wait a while. But this is what faith is about. Faith is about trusting him. Think of Abraham and Sarah, how long they had to wait. And I'm sure they had questions about a promised son. But always remember, my brothers and sisters, God cares for you. He loves you. Won't you give him your life? In Jesus' name, we'll see you next week.